Ready to order. Today is March 30th, 2023. Dang. It's March 30th. A quorum is present. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from March 28th. Representative Feist, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Yes. So moved, Madam Chair.
Didn't mean to catch you off guard. All right, minutes are before us. Any discussion to the minutes? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The minutes are approved. So picking up where we left off, we get to do a bunch of motions this morning since we've done other amendments to this bill previously. So I'm going to move to recommend that House Bill 1580 as amended be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Members, if you remember, we did go over this bill, but it wasn't actually before us. We didn't move it on Tuesday. We did take testimony on Tuesday, though. So now I will move to reconsider adoption of the DE2 amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. And now I will move to adopt the DE4 amendment. So the DE4 is the omnibus bill. We now have that before us. And then I'm going to move the A2 to the DE4. There were just a couple of drafting errors, and then mistakenly left out the tax court law clerks when we were increasing the salaries for the other law clerks. Was not intentional on our part, so would like to fix that. Any discussion to the A1? Sorry, A2. Thank you, Anna. That's why she's here. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The A2 is adopted. We did have one other pre-filed amendment, Representative Scott. I believe that's your amendment, if you would like to move that and speak to the A1.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the A1, I would actually like to orally amend that, if I might, Madam Chair, and take that number from 450 each year to 250,000 each year. 225, I wrote it down wrong. 225,000 each year. And that would make sure that the guardian ad litem volunteer program stays in place. These folks are to me a vital part of that program. And with workforce shortages that we have, I think it's important to keep that program available. These people are doing it. They're there because they care about the kids. They're not there to earn a living. And I also look at we have a changing demographic in this state, and we're going to have more and more people that are of retirement age that will have the time to invest in these kids. And I think that it's really important to keep the program open and running and not limit it in any way by removing this program. So that is my amendment, Madam Chair. I'd ask for member support.
All right. Discussion to the A1. Representative Feist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree that these volunteers are really well-meaning, wonderful people who are really contributing. However, there was a study by the National Council of it's the National Center for State Courts that looked at this program and decided that it really would make more sense for it to be. They wrote, the overwhelming majority of evidence suggests that a full employee model would be more efficient, effective, and ensure the long-term sustainability and viability of the Minnesota Guardian Ad Litem program. And then the board of the Guardian Ad Litems also weighed in and talked about how no other part of our juvenile justice system relies on volunteers in this way, and they just think that it's important that we professionalize this role. But I don't mean to minimize the contributions that these people have made. It just seems like we should follow the study and the recommendations of the Guardian Ad Litem Board. So I would recommend a no vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Feist. A further discussion to the A1, Representative Johnson.
Chair Becker Finn, Representative Scott, thank you for this amendment. I'm looking around the room. There's only probably two people that actually work with the Guardian Ad Litem volunteers. I'm one of them. I work with both volunteers and with the full-time people. I'll take the volunteers anytime. The full-time, they do a good job, but the volunteers do it for a passion. They do it for the kids. I've seen the work they've done And to be honest, generally, it's much better than the paid employees, because again, they do it for their passion to protect the kids. This is one of the best programs. It actually started as a volunteer. It wasn't full-time, it was volunteers at how it started. To end this program would be a tragedy. And again, thank you, Representative Scott, because this is probably the best program that we have in our judicial system, and we should not get rid of it.
Well, Representative Johnson, those are some strong words, and I do think, frankly, I'm a little disappointed that it found it necessary to disparage the work of our paid guardian ad litems. They don't actually get paid that much for the work that they do and how important it is. I think we could make arguments about whether the volunteers do a good job without disparaging the work or minimizing the work of our paid staff. We have, in this bill, we have fully funded the ask of the guardians ad litem. If they need more money to hire more people, happy to talk about that, but I think our guardians ad litem are, it's a professional job. We want fully trained people doing this work, and it's incredibly important. I would further, the Minnesota Guardian Ad Litem Board has recommended not continuing this program. And so I think I would respect the folks who are actually doing the work out in the field and ask for a no vote on the A1. Further discussion to the A1 amendment. Let you finish up, Representative Scott. I want to make sure you were the last one.
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to say, I think Representative Johnson wasn't trying to disparage the full-time paid guardian ad litems. He was just speaking from his own experience in life, and that's what a lot of us do around here. We speak from our own experience, and I've not had any experience with the guardian ad litems, thankfully, but I do appreciate that it's a good program. It's a needed program, and I just don't know why we would want to limit the possibilities of using these volunteers into the future. And so I would ask for members green vote.
All right. The A1 to the DE4 is before us. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. The motion does not prevail. With that, let's see. We'll move on to the DE4 as amended. All those in, well, I guess we can we can discuss further. Any more discussion to the DE4? I know we started to get into it last week or on Tuesday. Feels like a week went by. Sorry, guys. All right. With that, I'll renew my motion to adopt the DE4 as amended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. The amendment, the amendment as amended is adopted. Now I'm going to move to recommend that House File 1580 as amended be referred to Ways and Means. Any discussion to that motion? All right. Representative Niska.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's a, you know, a lot of good important funding in this bill. I do think there are two pretty significant constitutional concerns that I want to raise about what we're doing in this. The first is relates to a question I had asked when we were looking at the Locklerk rider, the Locklerk pay rider. In the past, the legislature has given specific appropriations to the judicial branch, but we've normally based that on some sort of request from the judicial branch, and we have never, to my knowledge, gone in and told the judicial branch what they have to pay specific types of employees within their branch. We have dictated, you know, funding as it relates to contract vendors in the judicial branch, but we've never before gone beyond our constitutional duty of setting judge salaries to tell, to micromanage the way that the judicial branch operates. And so I think that that is overstepping our powers, as even though we do have the power of the purse, and we should use that zealously within that to go into another branch of government and tell them what specifically they should pay particular employees. I think it is going beyond our proper role within the separation of powers scheme. I'm also concerned about the First Amendment implications of the policy we're creating in the Department of Human Rights, where we're setting up a essentially speech database. We're going beyond just looking at things that government can properly regulate into, I think the testimony on that particular bill when it was heard by the author was that they would be looking at incidents of hate speech. The Supreme Court has over and over again said that even hateful speech is speech that is within the protection of the First Amendment. The Supreme Court said that again unanimously in 2017, that First Amendment speech, even when we disagree with it very much, is still protected speech until it crosses the line into a specific ground that the government can regulate. And so to have government bureaucrats managing a database of protected First Amendment activity, I think, is a very, very dangerous step in the wrong direction. So those are two concerns I have with the bill as amended, and so I can't support it. Thanks.
All right. I will say, as far as your comments about a request from the judicial branch, the increased funding for court clerks is the number one priority of the MDJA, which actually does represent all of our district court judges. That is, they actually had an executive meeting last week to reaffirm that is their position, that this is their request, and it is their top request this budget year. Any further discussion to the bill? Representative Niska.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just to respond to that, very briefly, and I appreciate that, and I do want to reiterate, I guess, a comment I had made earlier, which is the judicial law clerks are very important employees, and I'm very concerned about the statistics that the District Judge Association cited about their problems in terms of recruiting and retaining. So I don't want to minimize the particular problem at all in terms of law clerk pay. I know that the judicial branch as a whole recognizes that concern as well, and I think that we as a legislature should at least allow them to, as a branch, sort that out before we dictate it to them. But I definitely do not want to at all minimize the concern about recruitment and retention of quality law clerks. I think that's a very, very important thing, and it's a good discussion for us to have. I just don't think the way that we're dealing with it in this particular bill is quite the right way to do it.
Yep, and I appreciate that, but I do want to clarify that this is a request that was brought to me by the MDJA. It was not my idea. It was brought to me by the MDJA. I honored their request, and that's why it's in here. So this wasn't just an idea that came into my head. This is a thing that was requested by the district court judges across our state. Representative Johnson.
Chair Becker-Finn, I want to thank you and thank all the work that we've done. Although we don't agree on everything, I do have some concerns about the bill. It sets a few precedences. First of all, it's removing the authority of the Supreme Court justice and giving it to a lower court judge on appointments. That's something that I don't believe we should do.
Representative Johnson, if you could just point to where in the bill and what you're referring to.
I believe it was one of the, I gotta find it again. It was in the appointments.
Maybe it's in the policy bill?
What about this?
That's what
I've been reading so many bills, I'm trying to keep them all straight.
Yeah, I think you might be
bill.
No, I think you're actually referring to something in the policy bill that we passed on Tuesday.
That is correct.
So that's not before us, which is why I was a little lost in what you were referring to.
Policy bill.
Okay. Any further comments to the finance bill, Representative Johnson?
Yes, it also sets another precedent of actually having capital investment in the judicial bill. Is the program worthwhile? The Child Advocacy Centers are much needed. But there again, I think the funding should be in a different place and not in the judiciary bill. I'm disappointed that we are telling our volunteer guardian ad litem that they're not needed anymore. It's a fantastic program. In fact, as I said earlier, it was the volunteers that set up the program, set up the training, and they've done a fantastic job for our kids.
And Representative Johnson, I do want to clarify on that. I do think it's important, as we've discussed this at length, that there was no bill even introduced this year. This did not even come up until people signed up to testify on the bill. So I just want to make sure for the record, was not anybody's request that be funded until this amendment today. Representative Johnson.
If I remember right, that funding had been in the base in the past, so there wouldn't be a request with the guardian ad litem. But I'm not 100% positive on that one, but I believe it's always been in the base. And the last thing is the fact that we're actually setting salaries. We can give the money, but should we be the ones who actually set the dollar amount of the salary? That should be left up to the judicial branch. So that's another precedent that this bill sets. So I do have some concerns about that, and for those reasons, I cannot support it.
Representative Moeller. Chair Moeller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to go back to that separation of powers issue, because it's my understanding that we can appropriate this money for the law clerks, but if the judicial branch decides not to accept it, they can turn it down. So I just wanted to make that clear on the record that this isn't a separation of powers problem, and they have the ability to turn this appropriation down if they so choose. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think the GOP members here have done a good job laying out why there are issues with this bill, and I do want to thank you and your staff and nonpartisan staff that have been so patient and so professional in this committee work this year. And as was said, our side of the aisle is not going to be able to support this bill today, but I do thank you for all of your work.
Yeah, thank you. And I do, you know, sort of in closing, I think it's kind of funny. I was just like, it's kind of nice that we have a separate policy bill, but it's weird to have such an important bill that's only 14 pages long. But I think that, you know, the work we do here is really important. And maybe that means people actually read our bill because it's only 14 pages. You could actually read it and know exactly what's in it. And I will push back a little bit. I think if we're just going to do whatever the judicial branch asks us to do, then why are we even here? There is that separation of powers. I do take that very seriously. That is, we are the Judiciary Committee, so that is our primary role to do that. And as Chair Moeller noted, if we're not forcing them to raise those salaries. If they don't want to raise the salaries, they can choose to decline those funds. And not do that. But again, I know it's a large dollar item, but it was a request that came to me from the district court judges for their staff, and I wanted to honor that in the bill. It is our, hopefully it's our last day of committee. I was trying to explain to some of the new folks, not just in this committee, but sort of how abrupt it is. Once we pass our finance bills, and then you don't have to be here at 8:30 every single day. But I really want to thank our staff. We have amazing staff on this committee, both nonpartisan and partisan. Really appreciate Callie's good working relationship with Anna and Ella and our whole staff. I think that is incredibly important. And I do want to give a shout out to Zach, our research person. We hired him. He started in January, and he's been doing a really great job. So it really has been an honor to do this work with all of you. And I think it's a good bill, even if we might not all agree on every part of it. I do think it's a good bill, and I'm proud of the work we've done to move it forward. So with that, I will renew my motion to recommend that House Bill 1580 as amended be re-referred to Ways and Means. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. All right. That concludes our work. Stay tuned. I do think in the interim we will work on doing some potential field trips hopefully meet some judges and maybe some guardians ad litem and get out in the field a little bit. At this point, I don't have any plans for informational hearings, but of course that's always a possibility as issues move forward. All right. Thank you, members. With that, we are adjourned.